So our next talk is by one of our own. Even though she's at BCBL, she'll always be a SCSD person. Monica Molnar, who is at the Basque Center, with co-authors Marcela Peña, Elena Quinones, Martin Bert, Cesar Caballero, and Manuel Carreras. And the title of the talk is Native Speech Processing is Supported by Different Neural Specialization in Young Monolingual and Bilingual Infants. And there she is.
So I'm going to talk about how monolingual and bilingual experience in the first few months of life affects language acquisition, particularly focusing on the neural correlates of speech perception. So we know relatively a lot about monolingual infants and adults' speech perception and speech production abilities. We know that depending on one's native language experience, different populations, they have different abilities when it comes to phoneme processing, rhythm perception, rhythm production, or the strategies that speakers use, for example, to segment native speech. So in this way, different populations are like apples and oranges when we think about monolinguals. And when we focus about the abilities of bilinguals, specifically about the specifically on the abilities of simultaneous bilinguals who are native speakers of two languages and who function perfectly fine in both of the languages and perceived as native speakers of both of the languages, it's very easy to think about them as two monolinguals in one person, so kind of like half an apple and half an orange. However, recent research seemed to converge toward the idea that bilinguals, particularly simultaneous bilinguals, are really not two monolingual persons in one, but they are kind of a different fruit. Maybe they are pineapples. So actually, the half an orange, half an apple view is called the fractional view or the monolingual view on bilingualism, and the pineapple view has been termed as the holistic view of bilingualism. But we don't know where this, so just to look at the earliest, so the neural mechanism of speech perception at the beginnings of the monolingual and bilingual acquisition, we know little about monolinguals. For example, that monolingual infants, they attend to the native languages differently, even and it is marked by a left hemisphere activation while they are listening to the native speech as opposed to another language or an auditory, another kind of auditory stimuli. And we know that at later age, after 6 months of age, bilingual infants, they show an enhanced activation in response to native phonemic categories. And there is very, very little that we know about bilingual infants. Our knowledge is limited to a couple of studies showing that bilingual infants maintain a higher sensitivity to non-native phonetic contrast as compared to monolingual infants. And we don't know whether these differences at the very early stages of language acquisition across monolingual and bilingual infants are due to just the strategy that these infants use for discriminating different phonetic categories, or whether they rely on, in general, different speech perception mechanisms, and this speech perception is supported by different neural mechanisms. And if it is, then it should be visible in the first few months of life. So for this reason, the focus of the current study is to test if exposure to two or one language alter the neural mechanisms of native speech processing in the first month of life. Practically, we know that, or we would predict that monolingual infants will exhibit a left hemisphere asymmetry while listening to the native language. But we don't know how bilingual infants compare to their monolingual peers, and we don't know whether they exhibit half an orange and half an apple kind of activation, or they are different from what we would expect from them based on the monolingual infants. So To do this, we used near-infrared spectroscopy, NIRS measurements, to measure the high hemodynamic changes in the infant brain while listening to native speech and non-native speech. NIRS measures blood oxygenation by measuring the amount of light that is reflected in the brain tissue. And it is a fairly good tool to, it's fairly good in spatial resolution, although not as good as MEG or MRI. We recruited 4-month-old infants for our near study from the Spanish Basque region of the Basque Country. And just, I'm going to give you a crash course on Basque and Spanish spoken in the Basque Country. So this is the map of Europe for North Americans. The group of islands, the group of islands on the top is the UK, and then below that there is France, and then below that there is Spain, and that purple region, right between France and Spain, is the Basque Country, where there is about 1 million speakers of Basque living, and they have infants. So we, who are listening to Basque and Spanish simultaneously. what you have to know about Basque and Spanish when you compare Basque and Spanish is that it's a very interesting language combination because they rely on almost identical phonemic properties. So the vowel categories in Basque and Spanish are completely identical. It's both languages have only 5 vowels, and the consonants have minimal differences in terms of a couple of fricatives and affricates. Even in terms of language rhythm, the two languages are kind of similar. They both belong to the syllable-timed group, but they still have some sort of subtle within rhythm class differences. For example, in the distribution of vocalic intervals across the languages that infants and adults have been shown to be sensitive to, and also the prosody at the phrasal level, at the level of noun phrases or verb phrases, is different. So we recruited 11 bilingual babies, or I'm going to report data of 11 bilingual babies in this study. 7 of them heard Spanish 60 to 70% of the time in the first months of life, and in the rest of the time, 40-30% of the time, they heard Basque. 4 of these bilingual infants, they had the opposite exposure pattern to Basque and Spanish, so they could be described more as Basque dominant bilinguals. And we recruited 12 monolingual infants. The parents of these monolingual infants reported that these infants heard Spanish 100% of the time in the first 4 months of life. Although we know that even if a baby infant comes from a monolingual family, but if the family lives in a bilingual community, it is normal to overhear the second language. So we assume that the exposure to Spanish would be not 100%, and still they are exposed to Basque to a certain degree. We used Basque and Spanish sentences recorded by 3 balanced bilingual females that were matched on the number of syllables, the pitch, and intensity across the languages. They were spoken in a friendly way, but importantly, speakers who we recorded did not speak in an infant-directed way. We combined these sentences in 10-second-long trials, and we constructed 18 trials, 9 Spanish and 9 Basque trials, when we played these sentences in a natural forward way, how we speak. And then we also constructed 19 backward trials in which we played these sentences in reverse to have an auditory baseline for our experiment. The stimuli was presented in blocks. We played a Spanish forward block that lasted for 10 seconds, that was followed by a silence that was between 16 and 24 seconds in duration. And then each condition, the Spanish backward, the Basque forward, and the Basque backward conditions were repeated, and of course they were randomized and counterbalanced across participants. It resulted in a fairly long experimental session of 25 minutes. We recorded actually activation in 52 channels, but I am focusing on the temporal channels on the left, in the left and the right hemisphere for the data that I'm going to report. And just to simplify the presentation, I'm just going to report one channel for each condition where we found a significant effect. And the channels that we looked at and the channels that we found a significant effect, they overlap with previous NIRS studies where a significant effect in response to speech were found. So first, I'm just going to show you the typical hemodynamic response when infants, actually, the first slide includes both monolingual and bilingual infants when they were listening to forward speech. So on the x-axis, you see time in seconds, and this gray bar represents the duration of the stimuli. And on the y-axis, you see the amount of oxygenation or the amount of oxygen in the blood. Yeah. So this is a stereotypical hemodynamic response, and as you see that this response is relatively slow. It starts to emerge after 4 or 5 seconds stimuli onset, and it remains longer than the stimuli duration itself. So actually, it is very common to average the data between, for example, 5 and 10 seconds after stimuli onset, and it is also possible to look at later stages of the activation. For this talk, I'm just going to focus on the activation between the first 5 and 10 seconds after stimuli onset, and this is what I'm going to present in the upcoming slides. So looking at the Spanish monolingual infants first, when we look at the activation in the left hemisphere, we see that we get an activation for both Spanish forward and Basque forward. And interestingly, the activation for Basque is higher than activation for Spanish. And just to remind you that Spanish is the native language of these infants. In the right hemisphere, in the channel of the right hemisphere, we found no significant activation for either Spanish or Basque. And higher activation in the left hemisphere to speech is, it has been found in previous NIRS investigations of infants with newborn infants or 4-month-old infants. And these findings have been accommodated within the signal-driven auditory processing framework. According to this framework, we see higher activation in the left hemisphere because this part of the left hemisphere, the auditory processing brain areas in this hemisphere, are more sensitive to rapid acoustic transitions in the speech. And these rapid acoustic transitions, for example, form and transitions in the phonemes, so when we are listening to speech, we hear a lot of these sort of transitions. Meanwhile, in the right hemisphere, the right hemisphere is more sensitive to slow acoustic changes, for example, prosody or rhythm. Our monolingual findings kind of differed, they were different from previous findings too, because we observed higher activation for the non-native forward speech, that is Basque, as opposed to the native forward speech as Spanish. In 4-month-old infants. In the previous study that investigated Japanese infants, they found higher activation for Japanese as opposed to British English. That was the not native language of the Japanese infants. So a possible explanation of our findings is that Spanish and Basque, as I told you earlier, they have virtually identical phoneme inventories. But clearly they have phonotactic differences. So a higher activation could be explained by listening to familiar phonemes in a new novel novel phonotactic rule setting, for example. But other explanations are possible as well. And looking at the bilingual infants, we found a very similar left hemisphere activation as compared to the monolingual infants. However, it seems like that the activation for Spanish is somewhat higher, although this difference is not significant. And what we found in the right hemisphere is also activation for both languages. These seem to be kind of smaller, but once again, they are statistically the same. So as compared to monolinguals, the first difference when we compare monolinguals and bilinguals is that there is in the bilingual infants, there are no differences across Spanish and Basque processing. So maybe it implies that bilingual infants, they just cannot discriminate the two inputs. However, we don't think this is the case because we have ample of behavioral data showing that infants at this age group, they can discriminate between the two inputs. Also, an interesting The thing is that there is a large variability in the bilingual group in terms of what infant shows higher activation for Spanish and what infant shows a higher activation for Basque in both the left and the right hemispheres. And it might be due to the differences in language dominance across Spanish and Basque-dominant bilinguals. So in the future, we are going to test more Basque-dominant bilinguals to see whether language dominance accounts for the no difference across Spanish and Basque in both hemispheres. Why is it that there is no hemispheric asymmetry observed in bilinguals? One possible explanation is that bilinguals, they receive less amount of exposure of each language as compared to monolinguals. Although this only can be answered by testing younger and older bilingual infants, but I would like to also say that monolinguals, they showed a left hemisphere activation in response to Basque that is not their native language, but they are still kind of exposed to it in a very... a little bit. They are exposed to Basque a little bit. And the reason, and if you think about the signal-driven auditory processing framework that I explained to you earlier, as you remember, that the right hemisphere activation is related to prosody and rhythm. And since our behavioral experiments show that Basque and Spanish bilingual infants, they are experts on cross-linguistic and subtle rhythm differences, it might be that bilingual infants, they just recruit more brain regions related to language rhythm. And just to finish up, I'm just going to show you the differences that we found for forward versus backward speech across the two populations. So these are averaged across both hemispheres. The light red bar shows the activation in monolingual infants for forward speech, and the darker bar shows the activation in monolinguals in response to backward speech. So you see that monolingual infants have a higher activation for backward speech as opposed to forward speech. Bilingual infants, on the other hand, show exactly the opposite pattern. Bilingual infants, they show much higher activation for forward speech as opposed to backward speech. Our findings in monolinguals are in line with previous finding, that is, monolinguals, they exhibit higher activation in response to forward speech. They have higher activation for backward speech than for forward speech. And we can only speculate why bilingual infants show higher activation for forward speech than to backward speech. So in other words, bilingual infants, they show more activation for language over non-language. And it might be that bilingual infants have more resources allocated, or they are more sensitive to processing language or as compared to other kind of auditory stimulation. So our overall conclusion is that bilingual infants, even as early as 4 months of age, they are not comparable to their monolingual peers, and speech processing is somewhat supported by different neural mechanisms. Even though that our behavioral results, they show that monolinguals and bilinguals have the same abilities in terms of speech perception, but these abilities are supported by different neural mechanisms. And of course, it is extremely important to test other bilingual populations at this age group to see whether these patterns that we observed are specific to this population, or this is something general that, it is general to the first few months of bilingual acquisition. Thank you.
I wonder if you'd accept the following hypothesis for why the bilinguals and monolinguals respond differently to forward and backward speech. The bilinguals already know a lot about how speech can vary, and the monolinguals don't know that.
Exactly, and this is something that I was trying to suggest with our interpretations, is that bilinguals have more experience about what language can be, as opposed to monolinguals, who have a more limited input to realize what language can and cannot be. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
Hi. Hi, Monica. It's really interesting work. Thank you for the talk. I was very impressed that you got your four-month-olds through a 25-minute study.
Yeah,
so it's amazing. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to know what you had them doing, if there was another kind of mm-hmm. task they did at the same time, and if there's any way to behaviorally look at their interest in the different mm-hmm. sounds that they were hearing, and if that could in any way explain some of your results. Yeah.
This is a very good question. So I have to admit that very few infants finished the 25-minute long session. So if you see that we had nine blocks per condition, and we could only we included only infants in this data set who had at least three blocks per condition, but most of the infants, they had around four or five, so most of the infants only had half of the data or half of the 25 minutes. And we knew that when we started the experiment, but we thought, why not? Let's try the 25 minutes. At the very beginning, we tried. So at the end of the story is that what infants did at the end is that they were just looking at the mothers. That's what we found the most smoothing for the infants. First, we tried to show them different just visual stimulation on a screen, but they got bored with it in 2 minutes. So the best thing we could do is that the mother was looking at the infant, and of course the mother could not speak or not move the mouth while they were looking at the infant. And your last question about
you use that sort of looking to the mother as some kind of index of attention or interest in the auditory stimuli.
Only know that we used exactly the same auditory stimuli that we use in this study. We use it in a behavioral test too to see if a bilingual and monolingual babies actually can discriminate the stimuli that we used, and they can, but that was a different set of infants. So, yeah.
Thank you, Monica.
Eskerrik asko. I was wondering if you assessed Basque French bilinguals, and if you have babies who speak Basque Spanish, and hear Basque spoken by a Basque French bilingual, would they recognize that it's Basque, or would they think that it's French because we have the influence of French prosody when we speak Basque? So
So that is also a very interesting question, and we did not look at Basque French bilingual infants. Although for me it would be very interesting to look at even just Basque Spanish, regular Basque Spanish bilingual infants, whether they can discriminate Basque spoken in the San Sebastian region of the Basque Country versus Basque spoken with a French accent from Iparralde, whether they actually are sensitive to that and if they can discriminate that.
Okay.
That would be interesting. Certainly interesting.
Cool.
Yeah. Thank you.